a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Don Block from the Pier Fort Pier Ministerial Association. Leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance will be Paige Jocelyn Clausen from Sioux Falls. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and for the blessings that you have given to us. We pray that as all of the legislatures work in their separate committees, that you guide them, guide the conversation that they have, guide the decisions that they make. And then as they bring stuff to the floor of the House and to the Senate, we pray for that continued deliberation and wisdom that you can grant to us, so that we can govern the state of South Dakota in a way that is productive and meaningful for all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk will please call the roll.
Representative Bartling, Boland, Kamak, Campbell, Carson, Consett, Craig, Cronin, Dryden, Duvall, Eklund, Erickson, Feigert, Feinstein, Gibson, Greenfield, Donhager, Jennehager, Hayek, Hansen, Hawks, Hawley, Heineman, Heinert, Hickey, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Johns, Kaiser, Kyler, Kirschman, Kopp, Lateral, Lust, Magstead, Mabe, Mickelson, Miller, Munsterman, Nielsen, Nordstrup, Olson, Otten, Parsley, Peterson, Qualm, Rasmussen, Ring, Rampkema, Rounds, Rosum, Russell, Schaefer, Shanefish, Shrimp, Sly, Soli, Solem, Stalzer, Steele, Stevens, Tolson, Tyler, Verschiel, Werner, Westrup, Wick, Wink, Wurzmer, and Speaker Gosch.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 8th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report.
Respectfully keep it down, please.
Submitted, Brian G. Gosch, Chair.
Is there a second? Those in favor of approving the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. With us today on behalf of Representative Shane Fish and Nelson, we have Delmont Day in the Capitol. They had some lunch for us below, some sausage and cheese and kuchen. We have the Delmont Fireman Sausage Supper, Elmer Gehring, Fire Chief, Delmont Kuchen and Harvest Festival, Earl Estrid and Glenn Stern Chair, and the entire Delmont delegation. If you would please stand if you're in the gallery and be recognized. Also, today in the gallery, I think we might have some folks from Madison. The Madison Dakota State University hosting the legislature group. Madison High School Student Council and honor students in attendance today. If you are here, Madison Chamber of Commerce as well, please stand and be recognized. Thank you. Now, pages, if you would come up to the right in front of the front desk here, we'll administer your oath before you start your work for us. reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1004 do pass as amended. House Bill 1005 was tabled. Charles B. Hoffman, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1080 be deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mark Verschiel, Chair. The Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bill 1076 do pass, and House Bill 1076, 1078, and 1079 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Tona Rosem, Vice Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit herewith Senate Bills 24, 35, 39, 43, and 65, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Jeanette Shipper, Secretary.
Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution 1001. A concurrent resolution in opposition to certain actions by animal rights groups to undermine agricultural producers. The Speaker has waived the committee referral. House Concurrent Resolution 1002, a concurrent resolution urging the United States Supreme Court to revisit the Roe versus Wade case and to overturn its decision. The Speaker has waived the committee referral.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Less moves that the report of the Standing Committee on State Affairs on House Bill 1056 of the House Journal be adopted.
Those in favor of the Less motion will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. First reading of House bills. As the Chief Clerk distributes the House bills, I will tell you, for those in the gallery who are unaware of this procedure, the Constitution of South Dakota requires that each bill have two readings in the House. This will be the first reading of House bills. They will be reading over the top of each other, but that is why they are doing so, pursuant to South Dakota Constitution.
House Bill 1144, an act to permit that euthanization of deer that have been seriously injured in motor vehicle accidents. House Bill 1145, an act to provide that road-killed animals are in the public domain and to provide the means of possession. House Bill 1142, an act to promote patient choice in selecting health care providers. House Bill 1119, an act to establish a school-to-work grant program in the Department of Education and to make an appropriation therefor. House Bill 1128, an act to allow certain students to participate in the Opportunity Scholarship Program under certain circumstances.
Speaker assigns House Bill 1119 to Education, 1120 to Local Government, 1121 to State Affairs, 1122 to Local Government, 1123 to Agriculture, 1124 to Agriculture, 1125 to Commerce, 1126 to Commerce, 1127 to Commerce, 1128 to Education, 1129 to Commerce, 1130 Judiciary, 1131 to Judiciary, 1132 Agriculture, 1133 Education, 1134 State Affairs, 1135 Agriculture, 1136 State Affairs, 1137 State Affairs, 1138 State Affairs, 1139 State Affairs, 1140 Taxation, 1141 Transportation, 1142 Health, 1143 Judiciary, 1144 Transportation, 1145 Transportation, 1146 Agriculture, 1147 Agriculture, 1148 Agriculture. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 39, an act to establish a penalty for a juvenile convicted as an adult of a Class A or B felony and allow a sentence of up to life imprisonment after a sentencing hearing. Senate Bill 43, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the crossing of a railroad and to revise the penalty for certain railroad crossing violations by the driver of a commercial motor vehicle.
Speaker assigns Senate Bill 24 to Health, Senate Bill 35 to Judiciary, Senate Bill 39 to Judiciary, Senate Bill 43 to Judiciary, Senate Bill 65 to Commerce. Consent calendar items.
House Bill 1064, an act to provide for certain methods of disbursement for school district flexible spending accounts. House Bill 1051, an act to revise certain provisions related to the director's orders to hazardous insurers. House Bill 1054, an act to repeal certain rulemaking authority for the director of insurance. House Bill 1071, an act to revise the contents of the application for the discharge of a civil judgment debt discharged in bankruptcy.
The consent calendar items will not be debated, but are subject to questions. The question before the House are the consent calendar items. Are there any questions on the consent calendar items? Seeing none, question before the House is final passage of the consent calendar items. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Russell votes aye.
Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. I'd like to welcome back to these chambers my former seatmate, Susie Blake from Sioux Falls, and former Assistant Minority Leader Mitch Fargin from Huron, soon to move to California, he says. So please join me in welcoming former Representative Susie Blake and former Representative Mitch Fargin.
Welcome, Representative. Representative Fargin, are you going for the Hollywood look? I couldn't tell if that was Fabio or Representative Fargin. Thank you for being here, though. Good to see you again.
Representative Lust, Magstad, Olson, and Rosem. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas.
The consent calendar bills, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Seeing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 1003, an act to revise the purpose of the Agriculture Mediation Program.
House Bill 1003, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rosem.
Thank you. I wonder if we could hold this for a bit because we have two different versions that are on computers. The printed conversion that we have here is not the Hog House conversion or version. So could I move it to the bottom of the calendar till I can figure out what's going on?
Somebody else could move it at this point with those prefatory remarks. Is there a motion? Representative Lust.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we move this down to the bottom of today's calendar.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor of the Lust motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. House Bill 1003 is moved to the bottom of today's calendar. Representative Rosem, do you have the Legislative Research Council working on? You're going there right now. Okay, thank you.
House Bill 1020, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the evaluation and treatment of persons with mental illness.
House Bill 1020, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, House Bill 1020 is a product of the Governor's Behavioral Health Work Group, and it was chaired by the Lieutenant Governor. The work group was composed of various stakeholders, including legislators, providers, different associations, advocacy groups, Indian Health Services, and the Department of Social Services. Last year, the Department of Social Services introduced legislation from this work group, and that work group continued, and now they have brought another statutory change to represent these efforts. If you take a look at the bill, Section 1 adds a definition of health care, and that's consistent with the Health Care Consent Act. And Section 2 deletes the wording non-emergency surgery or other medical procedures and replaces it with the term health care regarding informed consent or substituted informed consent to treatment. This language is also consistent with the changes that were made last year. Section 3 makes changes to the qualified mental health process to help with access, especially in rural areas, and that includes broadening the categories of professionals eligible to become QMHPs, or qualified mental health professionals, to advance practice nurses, physician assistants who meet certain criteria. Section 4 deletes specific requirements regarding the education and experiences of the Human Services Administrator. Education and experience requirements are part of the hiring process and are unnecessary to be and uncommon in a statute. Section 5 expands the use of mobile crisis teams to allow qualified mental health professionals in a clinic or hospital setting to refer individuals to crisis teams, which will assist in lessening the need for some mental health holds and commitments, and also allow individuals to receive needed treatment in the least restrictive setting. Currently, only law enforcement can make referrals to the mobile crisis teams. Section 6 provides good faith immunity to the qualified mental health professional who transfers supervision to the individual to a mobile crisis team. Section 7 allows a facility director or attending psychiatrist to initiate a mental illness hold on a minor when a parent gives notice of intent to terminate inpatient treatment. That hold may not exceed 24 hours. Section 8 changes languages in the minors chapter to make it consistent with changes that were made last year to the changes in language in other section of the mental health code. Sections 9 through 13, they reference several section of the minors chapter, and the language is changed from severe mental illness to serious emotional disturbance. And that's consistent with the definition and terminology that's used when referring to minors. I ask for your support of House Bill 1020.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on House Bill 1020? Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1020. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 59 yeas, 6 nays.
House Bill 1020, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1061, an act to revise certain provisions related to the regulation of captive insurance companies.
House Bill 1061, having received its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Munsterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. This was brought to the to us through at the request of the Department of Labor and Regulation. And we currently have captive insurance on our books. And essentially what that is when a business goes out and privately owns their own insurance company, which is really created by them to provide self-insurance for its own business, insuring against risks that that may not necessarily be available in the current commercial market, or that may they may be able to insure themselves at a much lower lower cost to their business. Our current statute does not allow them to be in the business of covering themselves on a life or health risk or personal lines, property, casualty risk, and can only, you know, cover themselves. And we currently have two categories of captive insurance, one being a pure category where you have your own business and you start your own insurance company for yourself type of thing. And then there, we also have a group captive where you can have a number of like businesses within an industry that share some of the similar risks that you pool together, and then you're able to spread that risk out amongst yourselves. And so that's what we have on the books today. What this bill does allow for is to expansion of a couple of more categories, one being a sponsored captive, which is like that group captive where a bunch are pooled together, with the exception that each individual business, or cell as they call it in the bill, really stands on their own risk. And so if they end up having any issues, then they're responsible for their own premiums and also to pay for those that liability. But they share the administrative costs amongst themselves. They also have created a special purpose captive category, which is a new category in the event that a business has a risk that they want to insure, but it doesn't necessarily fit into the current categories that we have offered. And then last but not least is the ability for a trust to own a captive insurance company. And it really provides the ownership interest of that to be provided within that trust and passed on to children, that type of thing. And so it really becomes a pro-business bill as we look at it moving forward, and can be a good piece in our overall economic plan for the state. No other states have any explicit language like this, whereby that they allow a trust to own a captive insurance company and to allow for that. And that can certainly be part of our attractive tool, if you will, in the toolbox of economic development for our state. So I'll just stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to add what the previous speaker said and offer my own two cents on the importance of this bill. It's important to remember that this captive insurance companies are not competing with any insurance company in this state. They're not competing with your life insurance companies, your health, and your general liability. Captives exist to insure risk that can't otherwise be insured. Either the limits are too low, or things such as, you know, acts of God and those type things that are excluded from traditional policies. So this fills a market that isn't otherwise being filled. And also on the trust captives, dovetails nicely with the work that the Governor's Trust Task Force has done over the last 15, 16 years to create South Dakota as the premier place to site as a trust. And you'll hear more about that tomorrow when I talk about the Trust Task Force bill. Trust captives will really be a way to catapult us forward in the race to become the best place to site as a trust. And then finally, I think this is it's a subtle, less conspicuous way that we do economic development. This will have a tangible economic development impact in this state, and it won't get the headlines. It won't get the headlines of the Bell Brands and those type of projects. But it'll long-term have just as much impact as those larger projects. So I strongly urge this body's support for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1061. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, one nay.
House Bill 1061, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1055, an act to revise certain provisions regarding unemployment insurance, employer charges, and claimant misrepresentation regarding benefit overpayments, and to correct references to certain provisions pertaining to unemployment insurance.
House Bill 1055, having had its second reading, is up for consideration. Final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House. House Bill 1055 comes to you as a result of two integrity provisions included in the Trade Adjustment Assistance Extension Act of 2011. These provisions are designed to crack down on unemployment fraud and protect the integrity of our state unemployment program. The President signed this act on October 21, 2011. States are federally mandated to enact these provisions within 2 years from this date. If we do not pass these provisions, South Dakota will be out of conformity with the federal law. The South Dakota Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council held meetings over the past year to discuss these provisions and recommended the penalties and the changes in this bill. Section 1 establishes a monetary penalty for claimants who commit blatant and intentional fraud. And I'll repeat that. Blatant and intentional fraud. An example would be a claimant who reported they contacted an employer about a job when the employer doesn't even exist. They are fictitious. Another example would be continuing to file for benefits and report they are not working when they have already started a job. In 2012, the department detected $1.5 million in overpayments. Nearly 40% of this was a result of fraudulent activity amounting to about $602,000. Currently, South Dakota law has no monetary penalty for fraud. House Bill 1055 establishes a monetary penalty of 50% of the amount of the overpayment for the first offense. Any subsequent offenses would result in a monetary penalty of 100% of the amount of the overpayment. For example, a $1,000 overpayment would be a $500 penalty for the first offense. Any further offenses would result in a monetary penalty of the full amount of that overpayment. The Act only requires 15%. This was the majority of discussion we had in committee, the amount of that first penalty. However, the Council gave this much debate and considered and studied all the other states. They determined 50% and 100% were more stringent and would be more effective as a deterrent to repeat offenders. All monetary penalty money collected will be deposited to the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. Section 1 also removes the one-year limitation period for the enforcing of administrative fraud penalties. Section 2 of the bill is the employer piece of the Act. Normally, when an improper benefit payment is discovered, that amount is credited to the experience-rated employer. Employer fault only applies when an employer is potentially chargeable. However, under this bill, if an improper benefit payment occurs because the employer or their agent failed to respond timely or adequately to the department's request for information, they will not be eligible to receive the credit. We do not anticipate that this would impact many employers. During the past 4 years, the average employer responsible overpayment error rate was only 0.58%. This totaled about $40,000 in 2012. Sections 3 through 24 of this bill are the result of Governor Dugard's red tape review effort. Section 3 amends the law to include all non-charging subdivisions and repeals an obsolete non-charging provision. Sections 4 through 24 correct statute references. I'd ask for your support and green vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Greenfield.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Wanted to address this matter a little bit. It's been stated here that there's currently no monetary penalty that would be, that a person who fraudulently makes a claim would be subject to. Well, I don't believe that's true. They have to pay back the entirety of the overpayment amount plus 12% interest. So that the bill states, if you look at page 1, lines 10 through 14, it states, in addition to any penalty imposed under this title, the department shall impose a penalty equal to 50% of the amount of benefits obtained by willful or fraudulent activity, etc. The first few words there, in addition to any other penalty already prescribed by law, one of those is the payback. The other one is that these people are subject to criminal action. They can be brought before the courts, before a judge, and the judge can impose any fine, penalty, etc. I believe that would include jail. So we're going to hear probably compelling arguments as to why we need to pass this bill. The federal government has said we need to pass it. They say that we need to pass it at a level that is at minimum 15%. We've gone to 50% because some council has determined that that's the appropriate level to be at. 40 other states have already put their legislation on the books, apparently. I've got a list that's relatively current. It was current as of the middle of this month. 40 other states are below that level for the first offense. So we would be venturing into uncharted waters in terms of, one, putting this penalty on the books, and two, being one of the highest, having one of the highest fines in the country. That's not generally how we do things. My point, I guess, in all this is that we already have the tools in the toolbox to pursue fraudulent activity. The department may or may not choose to do so. Last year, there were 541 fraudulent claims, according to the department. And as of last week, they said that they had pursued legal action. I'm talking in terms of judicial recourse that they've sought in only 58 of those cases. So we're talking about 10%. If we want to get tough on fraud, I would submit that they have every opportunity to do so. And I think that this bill, at least as it's currently written, goes way above and beyond what is prudent and necessary. I would encourage you to vote no on the bill in its current form or vote to amend it to a lower level. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Konza.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also was in the Committee of Commerce when this House Bill 1055 was brought by the department. A couple of things I'd like you to remember, and although the previous speaker makes a certain point, this person willingly and knowingly misrepresented themselves in a situation to procure money from the state of South Dakota. It wasn't that, oops, the stamp wasn't put on right, or I mailed it late, or my employer didn't get in contact with them. They signed on to something. They gave testimony to an individual to increase benefits for themselves. And if you would have read through the testimony, you'll find a lot of times that the person that does the fraudulent act doesn't get caught for up to 4 weeks. So they get a paycheck for 4 weeks. So in this scenario, this person has gone out, procured a job, has paychecks coming in, and goes in every week and reports that they are actively seeking unemployment to get that paycheck. I don't know what you guys would call that. That's theft. That is pure out, knowingly theft. I know that some find it extreme, and I know we've gone to the maximum level, but when the department and when all the proponent testifiers come and they want to send this message, and I believe the phrase was said, lay down the hammer, I don't think it is wrong for us to require people that commit fraud against the state of South Dakota or misrepresent themselves and take our money to require them with the stiffest penalty possible in this situation. What this is asking for is a 50% payback on your first-time fraudulent act, and then 100% payback on your second fraudulent act. Vote green.
Any further remarks? Representative Parsley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When this came to committee, I opposed this bill because I felt like it was overreaching, going from 0% to 50%. Granted, understanding that the federal government requires a 15%. Since that time, I've been given some further information from the department, and I'm looking at this a lot differently now. In the last year, we had 7% of those who were caught being fraudulent repeat. Apparently, we're not giving them a stern enough notice on the front end that allows them to go ahead and feel comfortable in repeating this. So I've looked at this again, and I do believe that 50% is probably, hopefully, will send a message to those who have been fraudulent in their claims of unemployment. And I would urge the body to support this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Representative Olson.
I have a question about who decides who has willingly or fraudulently misrepresented. Is that by the courts or the department? Where is that decided?
Is that for the representative from Hughes, Stanley, and Sully? Or who do you have your question for?
Whoever can answer it.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rounds.
You forgot Hyde. Thank you.
I forgot Hyde. Yes, I did. Would you like to answer that question?
I would like to make an attempt. There is an appeal process to the unemployment. If you're found to be fraudulently accepting dollars in unemployment and you believe you were not being fraudulent, you have an appeal process that runs the gambit. You can appeal the decision. But when you have it as fact that you've had the book signed, etc., that shows that you're out looking for work, but then you are already getting a paycheck, or it's a fictitious business, that speaks for itself. But there is an appeal process. Thank you.
Representative Olson, you still have the floor. Any further remarks? Would any member like to speak before Representative Rounds speaks for a second time? Seeing none, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll keep this short. My good friend from Brown, Clark, Hamlin, and Spink County was referring back to lines 10 through 14, but he didn't quite complete line 12, benefits obtained by willful or fraudulent misrepresentation, and I think we've heard that discussion. This is intentional, defrauding the state of South Dakota intentionally. I think we need to send a stern warning. This is a mandated piece of legislation. We have to have this into place within the two-year limit. We need to get this moving, so I'd ask for your favorable support. Thank you.
Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1055. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the member shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 61 yeas, 5 nays.
House Bill 1055, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1070, an act to revise certain provisions relating to the failure to fulfill the responsibilities of jury duty.
Mr. Speaker.
House Bill 1070 has now had its second reading. Are there any remarks?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. This bill was brought by the Chief Justice of the Unified Judicial System. I also have at this time an amendment that the Chief Justice has requested. on page 1, line 7 of the printed bill.
Hang on just one second here. I'm not going to be able to let you make the amendment at this time. Representative Rounds?
Have an amendment?
Is that 1070 RA?
That is correct.
Has it been distributed?
Yes, it has.
Do you move it at this time?
I move it.
That motion has been made and seconded. Are there any remarks on the motion?
I'll defer my time to Representative from Orange County.
Representative Johns, would you like to speak to both the amendment and the bill?
Yes, I would. Thank you very much.
Please
for this
proceed.
Opportunity. If a juror fails to appear for court as required when they're summoned, there is a provision under our law that allows a judge to require them to appear and answer for their failure. It's generally only utilized when a clerk tells the judge that we've consistently had problems with this juror. Under the present statute, if they fail to appear, the judge then can hold a hearing, determine that there's no they failed to show good reason why they failed to appear, and then the judge can fine them up to $50. No less than 5 and no more than 50. The proposed bill itself would increase that from 50 to, well, from 50 to $500. So that would be the latitude the judge would have. It also includes a provision that's not currently in there that would provide that if the juror willfully fails to complete and return a juror questionnaire, they can help answer for that as well. Before a juror serves, they're always sent out a questionnaire by the clerk of courts, which contains certain questions about their qualifications to serve. Litigants and attorneys always utilize that in the course of the litigation. There's no provision in the law at the present time to require them to do that. This would require them to do so, and they can be held to answer for the same. The reason to change the language on the second, on page 1, line 7, change it from willfully to fails without good cause is that if it requires a finding of willfulness, then you have to find more than what the current statute requires. You have to find that these people actually knew what they were doing, that they willfully did so, whereas if it just requires a finding of fails without good cause, the individual has to make that showing rather than trying to find willfulness otherwise. I would stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further comments on the motion to amend? We are on the motion to amend. Any further remarks? See no further remarks. This will be a voice vote. Those in favor of the motion to amend will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The bill is amended. We are back on House Bill 1070 as amended. Any remarks? Seeing no further remarks, the question before the House is final passage of House Tip Bill 1070 as amended. Those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Hawley. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 64 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 1070 as amended, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1072, an act to repeal certain provisions providing a criminal penalty for a political party to endorse or nominate a judicial candidate.
House Bill 1072, having had a second reading for consideration, final passage, are there any remarks?
Mr.
Representative
Speaker,
Johns.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. This is an act to repeal certain provisions providing a criminal penalty for a political party to endorse or nominate a judicial candidate. It was submitted at the request of the Chief Justice of the Unified Judicial System. Under current law, it's a Class 2 misdemeanor for a political party to endorse or nominate any candidate for a judicial office. I think it's safe to say that this provision was intended to depoliticize judicial elections in that in South Dakota, judicial elections are nonpartisan. As many of you know, the next judicial elections will be held in 2014, which will allow contested elections for all circuit judge positions. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit recently ruled on August 31st, 2012, that a nearly identical provision in Montana criminalizing political party endorsements in judicial elections violated the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which guarantees free speech and association. The court remarked that such a restriction violates voters of the, quote, right to a full and robust exchange of views to which, under our Constitution, they are entitled, end of quote. This protection extends as much to political parties as it does to individuals. It appears that Montana and South Dakota were the only two states with such a criminal restriction, and Montana's now has been stricken as unconstitutional. For that reason, I would ask you to support in removing the current restriction to avoid future potential litigation. Thank you. I'll stand by for a moment.
Thank you, Representative. Any further remarks? Seeing no further remarks, question before the House is final passage of House Bill 1072. Those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine, and the members shall proceed to vote.
Representative Schaefer. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 66 yeas.
House Bill 1072, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Seeing none, title is deemed correct. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar until tomorrow, the 10th legislative day.
All in favor of the last motion will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. That motion carries. Announcements. Representative Hager.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our local Right to Life group here in South Dakota is hosting a movie called It's a Girl tonight in Room 413 at 7 p.m. Please join us.
Room 413, 7 p.m. Any other announcements? Representative Olson.
I will remind everybody that tomorrow is hump day. Camel jackets are requested if you have one. And the Catacombs Caucus will meet in the Governor's Large Conference Room at 7 o'clock in the morning.
7 a.m. tomorrow, Governor's Large Conference Room. Any other announcements? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning in Room 413 at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Any other announcements? Speaker. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy will meet at 10 a.m. sharp tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Further announcements? Speaker. Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education meets 7:45 tomorrow morning.
Further announcements? Representative Romkema.
Appropriations will meet tomorrow morning for a briefing at 7:15 a.m., a full hearing at 8 o'clock.
Thank you. Any further announcements? Seeing none, Representative Steele.
If I may.
Proceed.
Thank you. I assume somebody was going to announce this, but nobody did. So there is a press conference tomorrow, Feeding South Dakota. They have a mobile food pantry program. It's going to be at the conference room at Capitol Lake at 9:30 in the morning. Please come if you can. Thank you.
Thank you. Further announcements?
Seeing none. Representative Steele.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Those in favor of adjourning will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned.